As we heard in the announcements before Mass today, the good news of the restrictions for our celebration of the Mass being lifted further. I can remember a year ago, during our celebration of the Ascension, that was the first time we were able to return to Mass in public, and having the people here celebrating with us priests. It's great that such restrictions like that are being lifted, kind of lifted like how the Lord was lifted up into heaven. We continue to pray for the decline of the pandemic and the continued lifting of restrictions. This day, though, in a very special way, is special for all of us here at Ascension, because this is our solemnity. This is the event that took place that our parish is named after. And so as part of that celebration, we have 40 hours of adoration of our Lord, which concludes later today at 2 p.m. with benediction here in the main church. But even as we're celebrating Mass, our Lord is being adored in the little church. We might wonder, okay, so this is a big celebration, this is important, but like, what really is the Ascension and why is it important? Why is it such a celebration? In our readings, we hear how Jesus is taken up into heaven, or ascended into heaven, as we say in the Creed. But is that all that this is about? Is it just about Jesus going up? I mean, why should we celebrate Jesus leaving us? It seems kind of strange. In our first reading, the apostles were confused about the Ascension. In fact, they asked Jesus, before he was lifted up into heaven, if he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And what they meant by that was that they thought that Jesus, being the Messiah, having shown that he is the Messiah by being raised from the dead by the resurrection, they thought that maybe he was going to establish an earthly kingdom like what King David had, something with geographical borders. And that's not what Jesus' kingdom was about. This new kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. It's different than a physical earthly kingdom. But Jesus knows that they didn't really fully understand, and they don't quite get it. So he wanted to refocus them away from earthly things and towards heavenly things. And so he tells them that they should be preparing themselves for the reception of the Holy Spirit. And we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming in a very special way at Pentecost. And that will be celebrated next weekend. But why is it that Jesus went to heaven in the first place? I mean, what was the reason? We're actually told in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I tell you, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you." So Jesus goes up into heaven in order to send us the Holy Spirit. We might wonder, well, why did he have to do that? God is revealing something personal, something very particular about himself, that he is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit doesn't come just from the Father, but also from the Son. And so to illustrate that, Jesus is going to heaven to be with the Father, so that with the Father he sends the Holy Spirit. And that gives us an insight into the inner workings of the Trinity. And we'll be celebrating Trinity Sunday in 2 weeks. So more on that later. God is wanting to reveal this important fact about himself out of love for all of us. And Jesus wants to be with the Father, even in his sacred humanity. And that shows us something else. That Jesus, he took his human body with him into heaven to be with God the Father. And so that all of us who are connected to Christ through our humanity have the opportunity to be in heaven with the Father. So this illustrates and reveals to us that we too can go to heaven. And that is really good news. So Jesus is sharing all of this information with us by his ascension into heaven. We see that when the apostles are filled with the Holy Spirit, they share the good news They share the good news of our Lord because they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay, but, you know, wouldn't it still kind of be cool if Jesus was still here on earth? Wouldn't that be nice to see him? Wouldn't it be great if we could actually hear him speak or be able to touch him or embrace him somehow? To look upon his face? To sit in his presence? Let's take a moment to just ponder what that would be like. If it's helpful for you, go ahead and close your eyes and just imagine what it would be like if Jesus was standing before you. If you could see Jesus in person, would you want to? I think many of us, the answer to that question would be yes. So I have good news. Jesus is still here on earth with us. We can still hear him speak and talk to him. We can touch him and embrace him. We can gaze upon him and see him and sit in his presence. And that may sound strange, but allow me to explain. Jesus comes to us still today here on earth through the sacraments. He can speak to us in a special way through his priests, especially in the sacraments. We can talk to Jesus through the priest in the confessional. Jesus hears our sins. He wants to forgive us. And when the priest says, "I absolve you," it's Jesus speaking through the priest, imparting that grace upon all of us. When the priest is at the altar and he says the words of Jesus Christ, "This is my body. This is the chalice of my blood," it is Jesus speaking through the priest. And just like what happened at the Last Supper, where the body and blood actually become Jesus, that too happens when Jesus speaks through his priest at every Mass. And then Jesus is fully present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Eucharist, so that he is still here on earth with all of us. One of the advantages of this is that Jesus can be physically, really, truly present, not just in one location, like when he was walking here on the earth, but all over the world when he's with us in the Eucharist and with us in his priests. And so we can look upon our Lord in adoration. We can gaze upon him. We can sit in his presence. And if we're well disposed and we're open to it and seeking him out in prayer, we can hear his voice. We can recognize the Lord revealing himself to us. But all too often we can be kind of like the disciples and think of worldly things and be so distracted and not be able to actually recognize the Lord in our lives or in prayer or in the sacraments. But Jesus is still with us. And he wants us to welcome him. He wants us to recognize him. For many of us, it's really hard to believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. It still looks like bread. It still looks like wine. How is it now God? And yet this teaching comes to us all the way from Christ himself, as we see in the sacred scriptures. This is the constant teaching of the church. We can see it through history. We can see it in the writings of the church fathers. We can see it even in the teachings that the church gives us today, in the catechism. It is very clear that the Eucharist is really, truly Jesus Christ. He is substantially present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. When he was walking on the face of the earth, his divinity, his godliness, was hidden by his humanity. In the Eucharist, both his divinity and his humanity is hidden behind the appearance of bread and wine. But Jesus knows that even with these things, scriptures, tradition, official teaching of the church, it's still hard for some of us to believe. And so he wants to make it easier for us. And he does. By revealing himself to us and this teaching to be legitimate through what's called Eucharistic miracles. Now, it's a true miracle every Mass where the Eucharist becomes Jesus. But sometimes, to help us in our belief, Jesus would do something very special with the Eucharist in addition to becoming present. Sometimes he'll have the Eucharist do strange and miraculous things, including have the Eucharist bleed human blood. It's interesting because every time this happens, it's always AB positive, which is the rarest type of blood. Sometimes in these miracles, the Eucharist would do strange things like emanate this light coming from it. Sometimes in these miracles, animals would recognize that this is God and bow down before him. Sometimes in these miracles, the host is accidentally dropped and then creates an indent into the stone floor. Like, that's miraculous. That's to help us recognize the truth of the teaching, because Jesus knows that it can be hard for us to believe. And we are blessed here at Ascension because from June 3rd to June 6th, we will have the Vatican International Eucharistic Miracles Exposition at our gym, at our parish, at Ascension, where you can read about the miracles that I've made reference to, where you can learn more about all these miraculous things that God has done through the Eucharist to help us recognize that this is real. He really is present in the Eucharist. He really does love us that much that he would create this way to be with us, still here on earth, even though he ascended into heaven. As part of that celebration, I'll be giving a couple of presentations about the Eucharist, the biblical basis of the Eucharist found in Scripture, a little bit about transubstantiation, how is it that it goes from bread into God, and I'll also have a separate presentation about select Eucharistic miracles that I find particularly interesting in the scientific investigations of those miracles. In addition, Father Schumacher will be giving a presentation, and so will Dr. David Keyes, so that we can all go deeper in our understanding of Christ's presence in the Eucharist, to strengthen our faith in this teaching, and appreciate what an awesome gift it is that Christ gives us, his very self, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Eucharist. But in addition to that, we're going to have Kathy Gilmore come and give a special presentation to the children. And we'll also have select stories of these miracles presented to children in kind of like a story format, so that they too can benefit from the reality of these miracles that have been approved by the Church, by the Vatican. In addition to that, because we like doing things big, we're also going to have relics in the gym of different saints, but even a relic of the true cross present for us to gaze upon and to reverence. We'll also have vessels and vestments, the things that we use in the sacred liturgy, with explanations so that we better understand why is that? Where did it come from? Why do we use that in Mass? Why is it precious? So it'll be a big celebration, June 3rd through the 6th. You can find more information about that in the bulletin, as well as on our website. It's something that I wouldn't want you to miss. A great opportunity to go deeper in the faith. So Jesus ascended into heaven in order to send us the Holy Spirit, but he still wants to be with us here on earth. And so he is in multiple ways, including through the priests and in the Eucharist. So let us take a moment to call upon the Holy Spirit to come deeper into our lives, as well as plan on going to the Vatican International Eucharistic Miracles Exposition from June 3rd to June 6th. And let us do these things as we prepare to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Most Holy Eucharist.